You can worship here. I was going to say something, but it's not necessary. It's in the message. Man, we're not adding or taking away anything from the message. So, Acts 3 and 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He stood, he walked, he leaped, he praised God. Right? Some things he had probably never done. And when I was getting these messages for this, you can worship here, God is really telling me that worship, he loves worship. That's really what we were designed to do. We were made to worship him. Matter of fact, when we get to heaven, we are there to worship him for what he's done. There's no other way that we can get there but to through him, and he has made it in us. That's why it works so well. But I wanted to talk about two different places of worship. One that's agreeable and one that's not agreeable. One that says, so be it. You know what so be it means, right? Amen. It means amen. And another one says, let it pass. Lord, I don't want to worship here, right? But you can worship here. And the first one, I wanted to say this, is when you see somebody, everybody can agree to somebody getting healed, somebody laying outside the temple gate. Peter and John are going up to the temple of time to worship, and they walk up and they see a man lame, and he can't do anything but beg alms. And we can all agree, right, when somebody like that gets healed, it's yes and amen, right? You can agree with that, and we love that. We love great places in the Bible where people healed, people are delivered, people are just touched by God. I'm like, hallelujah, praise God. There's a place of agreement. Amen is easy. Amen is easy. Should be easy. It's a place of agreement where you hear something, where you hear a message, you're listening to a song, you're listening to a song of worship, and they're singing, and all of a sudden, God lets you see that you're going in the right direction. Amen. Right? It's a place of agreement in a song of worship. All of a sudden, you sit there and you go, man, God just revealed to me through this song, through this place, that He's with me and I'm doing the right thing. Amen. It's easy, right? It should just roll off the tongue. It's like, hey, so be it, Lord. I'm right there. I'm right there with you. And the message, you get in a message and all of a sudden, every word is confirming what you're doing and how you're following God. And it makes you feel like, man, that's right on the mark. Amen. So be it. So be it. Hallelujah. I love that. I love those. I love those times. And guess what? I'm not begging for your amens. I'm not. I'm just saying you should take advantage when you're there. You should take advantage when God does move that way, that you can worship in any way you see fit. But I want you to realize that those are the times when it should be a little bit easier. It should be easy. It should just, you're sitting there and all of a sudden the preacher, that song's over. Next thing you know, the preacher comes up and the message is confirmed. And all of a sudden, he says something that you've been thinking on, or God's been dealing with your heart, or he's pushing you into a certain area of ministry, or he's pushing you in an area that you know that you need to go, and you've decided, maybe you've already quit your job, maybe you've already, explained to your wife that all of a sudden that God's doing this thing, and it might be scary, but we're going to do some stuff that we've never done before. And all of a sudden, the preacher's up there preaching. Next thing you know, that message is just, you look over at her and you say, I told you. Don't worry, no more fear. We're good. Amen? But guess what? That's where it's easy. That's where you say, amen. That's where you say, hallelujah, praise God. Amen? These are the good times. What is it? I was thinking, what are the outward showings of this? They're a lot like this guy in 8. There's some shouting. There's some praising. There's some running. There's one antenna, two antennas. Amen? Or maybe sometime, you know, FLM. Right? One of those. Or when you put it up, you need to bring it slowly back down. No, I'm just, if you can't, we just right there. It's good. Right? So you're worshiping. That's some outward showings of these affirmations. These, hey, the message is affirming what God's doing. There's some promises in there. That song, it affirmed God's promises. I'm standing on the rock of my salvation. The storms can come, right? I mean, I was sitting back there in my office earlier listening to our choir practice, and I mean, you're just like, my God, that's good. That's why it's so easy to preach here sometimes. We've got good worship. We're worshiping God here, and you can come right in behind that and preach. And guess what? When you hear that, you're like, man, you're affirmed. You're like, man, that's a good word. I agree with that. If you get some preachers preaching online, and it's something that's rooted and grounded in what you believe, you let them go, right? I mean, even if you're in your spirit, you're saying, so be it. That's right. That's good, right? Man, I love those. I love that kind of message. I mean, I love Acts chapter 3. I love it, man. That's a worship service and a half. I bet that scared some people to death. I bet it did, because guess what? I guarantee you, somebody in that church said, I wish we had built a wall instead of a gate. You said, what do you mean? See, a gate you can see through, a wall you can't. I bet that joker sat out there for months or years or weeks and was saying, if I ever get the chance and I get in there, boy, I'm going to shout, run, and praise. I'm going to do something. I'm going to leap. I bet he's sitting there thinking, man, I can see it. Hey, do you ever remember a time when you could see it, you just couldn't have it? I mean, I could see it, but I didn't know. I didn't have a way in. I didn't have an opportunity. I didn't know what to do. Praise God, Jesus came along. Boy, Peter and John walk up, and he says, can I get any money? He goes, silver and gold, have I none. That's scary. Peter. And some people made a message, a prosperity message out of the gospel. But Peter and Joseph said, silver and gold have I none. I ain't mad at you if you got a little bit of money, but that's not the most important thing. But in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. That's a whole lot better than whatever money they could have gave him. We're about to take you to church. How do boys stood up? Hey, can I go on in with you? Yeah, we'd love to have you. I don't know if they'll love to have you, but we're going to love to have you. Church is going to be different today. It's always good to see people who come into church who don't know how to act. Amen? They don't know how to act. Because they're not acting. They're just doing. They'll mess your stuff up sometimes, but praise God, it's awful fun to watch. Amen? I love watching people. Me and my wife were talking about this today. We see some people recently who look like they're being fed for the first time, and they're just enjoying themselves. Have y'all ever had the opportunity to see a homeless person eat? A person that hadn't eaten in a long time? Have you ever got to see kids who haven't had a good Christmas ever get one? We've had the opportunity to be in a ministry that had that opportunity. We have in our boys' home that several of them that had never, you know, seen. So I remember watching them at Christmas get gifts, because all these groups would come around and they'd want to help, and they would get them gifts, and it would make me a little jealous. I'm serious. I mean, they're like, can we get the kid a PlayStation 3? I said, yeah, if you can get me one. This was back when PlayStation 3 was good. Some of y'all are like, what? I don't even know what a PlayStation good is anymore. I don't know. Matter of fact, we was playing Nintendo last night or somewhere. Never mind. Sorry, that's another story. But I want you to hear this. I want you to get this. Praise God, to watch somebody like that get it, and it be new to them, and they're excited about it, right? Remember, when we opened the gift, it might have been 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We were excited one time. But when somebody opens the gift that is real, real bad, you know, lame on their feet, nobody's helped them up, and all of a sudden they come to church with you and you can't stop them, that's another part of worship. I want you to write this down. That's another part of worship. If you can start it and stop it, it's probably not God. Ooh, ouch. How? Because guess what? If God starts it, I've been in services where God starts it, you can't stop it until God's done with that person. We went to a play one time, and it was the third time they had done it. We had been twice. We had took a group, and we took another group. And it was one part of the play where they were bringing the boy who had died. His mother was a widow, and Jesus healed him. He touched the casket, and he came alive. And I'd seen the play already, and I knew this wasn't in it because I'd already seen it. All of a sudden, the lady that was supposed to be the widow, the Holy Spirit of God, jumped all over her. And next thing you know, she began to shout. No, it wasn't a shout like we, hey, praise God. It was one of those, like, God, I can't hardly explain it. It's just one of them screams that it makes you feel uncomfortable, but you know it's God, and you can't complain about it. And you're like, that's crazy. Good. And it went on for like 5 minutes. And she was walking out of there screaming. But what was cool is they got her back in the foyer, and this is a pretty big church, and she was still screaming. Through two scenes, she was still screaming, and I could hear people in the play in the background start to worship with her. That's worship. That's the stuff you're like. It gets on you. It's in the Bible, it says it goes from breastplate to breastplate. I'm trying to get y'all excited to hear this. Have y'all ever been in a church where you've seen somebody else getting it and you knew it was coming? Man, I have. I've seen it go down a row and it get on somebody and they're weeping and praising and I'm not. And I'm like, well, God, I would like to. Poof. Oh, God, that's good. Oh, yeah. But then when it moves off of you, you want it to jump on somebody else. That's good stuff. We can all, man, that's the good. That's where we want to be. That's where I want to be. I can agree with that. But there's times where you can't agree. There's times where you can't agree. And right now, I don't want you to get aggravated with me and say, well, you got to always agree with God. I don't know. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And let's say verse 39. This is the first time, okay? Y'all good? Well, I'll give you time. Matthew 26, verse 39. Are y'all getting there? I can hear pages churning. That's one of the best sounds in the Bible, or in the church, sorry. Pages turning. Matthew 26, 39. Set. Sorry. Y'all good? Are you finding it? I hear one page still turning. Somebody's praying desperately. Sweat is beading up on their forehead. All right, where have we found it? Matthew 26, 39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, you know this is Jesus, correct? Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Amen? No, he's in agreement, but he's not in agreement. Amen? Now listen, I want you. I know you, and I know me. I know some of. Oh well, you always got. We got cliches in the church. We say stuff. We always got to do. You got to be as well. You got. Listen, I'm being real with you. You be real with me. If you're real, sometimes you just don't want it. You don't want it. Jesus had a self will. He was God, but he was a human. He had a self will. And sometimes you're going to be like Jesus. You're going to come into the church and somebody's going to sing a song and it's going to convict your heart. Not the person, not anybody, but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to bring conviction on your heart and it's going to convict you. Amen. And you're going to be sitting there going, no, no. Oh, I don't want to. I'm not talking about a lost person right now. I'm talking about somebody who's saved. I'm talking about that God's on you and he's trying to work on you, but it's tough because your self-will don't want to die sometimes. No, God. Mess with somebody else. I come to have a good time. I come to do other things today. God, you're dealing with me about me. You're tunneling into some dark places, God, into some places I don't want you to go. And you're doing it early. Has God ever done it early? God, I hate when he does it early. Get me at the end of service, not in the worship part. man, first lady, can I sing a special? Yeah, rips your heart out. Thanks, lady. Appreciate it. I was planning on having a great service. Got my kids, and I even wore my good makeup. I combed my hair the good way, and I got my great shirt on. And now I'm going to mess it up. Thanks, lady, for being obedient. Singing a song that's crushing me right now. Right? Or maybe you hear a song that brings you to that place where you are that you remember something hard that you went through, something where God worked on you. You lost something, somebody, some situation, and it just breaks you down. And you remember, and you didn't come to do that. You didn't come to stay there. So God loves, He loves broken people. He loves broken places, because when you get brokenhearted, you can minister to other people from that brokenness. Too many times when we get too high and lifted up and we're all good, everything's all good, we tend to want people to get where we are instead of God said, get where they are. Come down to them. Don't make somebody mourning and it's brokenhearted come up to you. You're going to have to get down there with them. Song service can do that too. The message is, that's even worse. Have you ever come to church and you say, man, I need a word. God, I want a word. I want you to bless my socks off. I'm ready to eat. Got my fork and my knife. Come on, put the steak out there. Come on, Father, put the steak on. Yeah, it's going to be steak all right. It's going to be like liver. No. It's good for you. It's high in nutrients. It'll do you some good, but that first bite, boy, it's going to sting, boy. It's going to be tough for you to swallow. If you like liver, I'm sorry. I don't. I said, yeah, chicken livers are good. No, they're not. Catfish eat them. Agree. Catfish eat them. I don't. But I want you to say, I want you to hear this. God will, He will give you, it's good for you, but it's hard to swallow. It's good for you, but you're having to eat it. And it's a thing where you're saying, God, I don't want this right now. I have my mindset, but God doesn't mind. The word can just penetrate. Because guess what? He's trying to get you out. He's trying to work. Listen, He's not done with you yet. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with anybody in here yet. If you're still here, He's still working on you. If He's not, then you would be in glory already. Messages just penetrate your heart and soul. I mean, cut you all the way to the bone. You ever been cut to the bone? Have you ever had a message cut you all the way to the bone and you're just sitting there going, man, I am just raw. I mean, you've cut me. Lord, that hurt me. But if He hurts you, He'll heal you. If He hurts you, He'll heal you. Listen, the wounds of our affliction are necessary. They are perfect. Amen. The wounds of a friend, that's the best kind of wounds to have. Because guess what? A lot of times your enemy, he won't wound you. He'll just tell you everything's all right while you're drunk, while you're high, while you're without, while you're in a mess. Man, you don't need the church. No, you don't need to pray. No, you don't need to go. Guess what? You absolutely need it. A friend will tell you what's wrong. Friend will look at you and see, God's the best. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His word will come out and it will make you hurt in a good way. I get this all the time. I run into people all the time. Man, that message hurt me. It crushed my toes. It kicked my shins. It broke my heart. And I say, it did mine first. But I'm glad. And they're like, I'm glad. I'm glad. Now, we're not glad that God gets us sometimes, but we're glad that we know that He's doing it for the right purpose. I'm not trying to scare young Christians. You mean God's going to get... No, God's a good Father. God's a good Father. He won't let you live in a mess. He won't let you stay in a mess. He won't let you stay in a comfortable place if He don't want you in that comfortable place. That's probably a lie. You're probably not comfortable in it anyway. He won't let you stay there. Can I preach right there for a moment? I want you to hear this. I love that story about the eagles. Because, you know, God, every Christian wants to be an eagle. We do. If there's a bird we want to be an eagle. Some of us are chickens. We ain't going to fly and we're going we're going to peck around on the ground and just keep our heads down and just keep pecking away with the other birds. Golly, that hurt. Some of us are buzzards. We'll jump over and we'll fly around like an eagle, but we'll perch most of the time and sit around and go, just groan and complain and eat on dead stuff, rumors and stuff, land on the dead stuff and eat the dead stuff and hang out with a bunch of dead stuff. We want to be eagles. We want to soar high. We want to be majestic. We want to be powerful. We want to be something, a symbol of good, right? But I love what eagles' parents do, the mother. The mother, when the eagle is born, builds like a monster nest. And it's a beautiful thing. She reworks that thing. And I mean, it's huge. If you ain't never seen an eagle's nest, it's bigger than you think. It's probably bigger than this whole stage is. If we built one, we could build one, it'd probably take up this whole stage. And it's probably about 3 or 4 feet high. And it's, I mean, the mother jags the edges out. I mean, she fortifies that thing for not anything can get in there. Amen. And that little baby eagle sitting in there like, yeah. I mean, ever so often its mama comes by and vomits in its mouth, and it's awesome. That's for all the guys in here. Guys love good blood and gut message. Amen. Some of the women, just bear with me. I mean, they go eat a fish or a baby squirrel or your pet poodle, whatever they got, and they devour that, and they come back and they throw that up in the baby's mouth. And that baby's just sitting back like, God, this is good. Mom and Dad just come by and feed me, and I'm in a fortress, and I'm protected, and I'm good, and I'm a bald eagle. Sounds like church folk. Feed me. Preacher, is that the best you got? Come on, can't you come up with a better sermon than that? You already preached that one. Y'all feel the fierceness of that? Did you feel it? You know what his mama does after a while? You can't be an eagle and stay in that nest. I'm going to turn everything against you. I'm going to start turning all the edges, the sharp edges, and I'm going to condense that nest. You're not going to be comfortable. Guess what? The little stick's going to be sticking you in the back. Someone's going to stick you in the leg. And only a poor eagle would be able to sit in that. Some will try. That's uncomfortable, Mom, but come if you just keep the birds coming. Right? What he's trying to do is get them out of the nest to do its own flying, to its own hunting, to its own eating, to its own thing. Right? That's what we need to be. We need to, well, hey, guess what? After a while, it's good to be fed. Feed yourself. Feed your wife. Feed your kids. Amen? And wives, can I tell you this? Can I help you? Every once in a while, feed your husband. I'm talking spiritually. Amen? Go, oh, my God. Hey, need to do this. Need to do that. Need to do this. Need to do that. I can't believe, man, you better give me a ride out of here. Amen? It'd be good every once in a while because, man, God, you're an awesome man. You're an awesome man of God. You take his church, you pray, you reach about, man, I can't believe we're in the house. God, thank you. Hey, I'm encouraging you. I'm encouraging you with Scripture. I'm praying for you. Man, I'm on them women tonight. Well, hey, don't give them a list of stuff before if you don't pray for them and encourage. Wow. Because some women, see, that's it, preacher. Done with you. But the priest of the home is the husband. I'm about to gather all the women back up on my side. You're supposed to be the husband of your home. You're supposed to be the pastor, the preacher of your home. Yeah. That means you need to study up. That means you need to pray. You know what? Everything you speak in that home, that's what's going to be, that your word's going to carry down through your family. How you treat your wife, that's how your kids are probably going to treat their wives or their husbands. Well, that's too much responsibility. Sorry, that's just the way the Word of God is. Husband, house band, that's you. Amen. I'm the leader of my household. She'll do what I tell her. No, you follow God, she'll follow you naturally. You follow everything else, she doesn't have to follow you. Ouch. I don't like that. You ain't old school, you ain't old fashioned. I ain't worried about being old fashioned. I'm worried about being right. Amen? I'm worried about being right. You got to get up under God's leadership and love her, like Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. What if God spoke to you like you speak about your wife?
Well, good, ladies, heifer, ball and chain, ain't no good, this, that, that.
What if God said, no good, ain't worth nothing? Golly, never get nothing out of him, can't get him to pray, can't get him to read work, can't get him to stand up in his workplace, can't. I know what you'd say. I know. Here's what it'd look like. I don't want to be married to you. Ha ha! Ha ha! Oh. Speak life. Now, everybody's equally mad. Good. It's quiet in here. That's a nice place. Let's get back to the Word and we'll be good. Let's jump over. I want y'all to show you one more time, and then I'll give you another example of here of how worship. Let's look at verse 42. And he went away again. It's Matthew 26, verse 42. And he went away again the second time. And he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, is this cup, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Okay, y'all good? Y'all see it? Yeah, this is at night, early morning, right? Okay, so Jesus is in this place, and this is how we are going to worship sometimes. And it's still worship. You hear me? This is still worship, because guess what? The message or the place that God gets you to, guess what? Sometimes getting your self-will to die is repetitive. Y'all don't like that. How many of you like one trip to God and that's it? Don't have to do nothing else. That's salvation. That's not working on you. Amen? That's not working on your self-will. Jesus had to go back. He prayed once and said, "God, remove this cup." Went back again. "God, remove this cup." He went back again and he said, "Lord, your will be done." Right? Are you all good? Is that right? That's good? Guess what? Sometimes you got to go back and be repetitive to kill self-will. See, y'all thought this message was obscure. And we were talking about somebody that was going to worship. Now we're talking to us. Sometimes I got to go back to the altar, go back to the prayer room, go back to the Word of God, and I got to lay some flesh down. Amen? Are you willing to lay some flesh down? Repetitive. It all don't get done in the first whack. Amen? And Jesus had to go three times. How many more times should we have to go? Oh. It's sweaty. He sweat as great drops of blood. It's not easy business trying to kill you. Trying to kill your will. Trying to kill your old flesh, man. It ain't easy. Ugh. Sitting in there praying till the sweat starts coming. Have we ever been there? God, not about somebody else's stuff. Not about somebody else's issues. Ours. Our obedience. Our place. Our ministry. Our thing. The thing that we're supposed to be. Because Jesus is crushing his self-will to go to the cross. Amen? And guess what? It's a repetitive deal. And guess what else it is? It's a sweaty deal. Can I say it this way? It's ugly. Because when we sweat, we're ugly. Some of y'all just perspire. Some of y'all just get a little... When some of us sweat, it's ugly. Amen? Sometimes you got to get ugly. Because the way things are on the inside of your heart and mind sometimes are just ugly. Be honest, it's just ugly. I don't like to be some of you, "Man, you preacher, man, you..." They try to set preachers and people on pedestals. I'm like, get out of here. Get away from me. I'm a man. Just a regular man. I got a calling on my life. I understand that. But I am a man. I'm flawed, I'm messed up, just as anybody else is. I need to work on me, I need God to work on me, and He is working on me. And it's good. And I love when He gets to this place where it's ugly. Can I tell you something else? It's dark. Dark. You turn the lights out and get dark, guess what? It gets confusion. It gets scary. And sometimes you don't even recognize who you are. No, never mind. I'm sorry. We put that person after that good guy. I do. Come to church, you put your good guy out there. You don't put your bad guy out there. You know what I mean? How you doing? Great. How have you been doing this week? Great. How's everything? You get mad this week? Nope. Say anything you should have? Nope. God's good. All the time. All the time. God's good. Bless you. Where you at, right? Where you at? That's what we do. We put our good. But sometimes, man, sometimes we're really being honest. And God really shows us through the Word or through preaching or through song or whatever the place is where God shows you. He can do it any way He wants to, by revelation, by the Spirit of God. Let me tell you this. When He does, man, you can get to a dark place. Because, man, there's some stuff inside of me still. It's there, amen. It didn't die when Jesus, saved me. That old man's in there. He's just, I try not to feed him. I try not to throw him any scraps. And I try not to let him sneak in and get a few. Because if he ever gets a few, boy, he's a boss. Never mind, some of y'all don't know. I mean, I got one that sits over in the corner. He's got a Panama Jack hat on and a pair of sunglasses, got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, sitting over there going, just give me a shot. Just give me one try. I'll show you how to run the deal. Never mind. I know I got a vivid imagination, but he's a dude, man. He wants to run. I just don't feed him. Try not to feed him. Because if he ever gets anything, he's right at the table with everybody else. Right? Elbows out. Doing everything. Oh, come on. It's sweaty. It's dark. Guess what else it is? This stinks. It really stinks. I hate it. It's lonely. All the ones that were supposed to be with him, praying for him, they're about a rock's throw away, sleeping. Not just sleeping. I'm talking. Because the Spirit of God, the spirit of heaviness is on them. Because guess what? If we can learn something right here. Because guess what? When things are about to get serious and you need to be praying, your body will shut down and go to sleep. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a serious mode and know I need to be praying. And I mean, it's like somebody's drugged me. Let's be honest. Is that true? Have you ever said, all right, I'm going to pray right now. And you go to praying and it's like somebody shot a tranquilizer into you. And you're saying, look, I'm supposed to be holy. I'm supposed to be saying great prayers. But God, did somebody shoot me with a tranquilizer? I wish we could be honest. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, sometimes it's great. Sometimes, man, I'm like, I can't even get my eyes to stay open. You got to fight. Let me put myself in good category. I don't want to put myself in great category, but guess what? These are the apostles and disciples, and they were laid out. These are great men of God. These great men do great. But aren't you glad that the wart in the Bible too? We don't like to expose our weaknesses, but God don't have a problem with exposing theirs. Wake up, boys! I really need you. God, we got you back, man. All right. Got it. All right. Get up, James. Come on, John. Got this. Let's hold hands and do it. If you see me going to sleep, punch me in the face or something. But Jesus is going back. He's over there praying, man. It's in the Bible. I ain't making it up. They went to sleep every time. Because the flesh was weak, the spirit was willing, but the flesh is a monster. Sometimes you're going to have to go at it alone. You're going to have to be at this thing alone. Ooh, I don't want to do it alone. Hey, maybe not all the time, but you know what? A lot of the battles you're going to face ain't going to be in here in this corporate worship place. It's going to be in your car going to work. It's going to be in your homes. It's going to be in your workplaces. I can already write this one down. It's going to be in your family stuff. Oh, goodness gracious. Everybody, you don't want to mess with my family's weird. Yeah, everybody has got stuff in their family. You know why it's so hard? It's because all your family knows you and you know them. You know their whole past, and they know your whole past. And they can't get over it, and you can't get over it. Guess what? Praise God. God doesn't work anyway, right? You get alone. You got to go at it, even alone. Best church services I have, best messages that I've ever preached, best messages that I've ever heard are always alone. Everything we do up here, anything you will do on a stage, a platform, or in front of people will be a remnant of what you do alone with God. That's everybody in this Bible. That's everybody in this Bible. Every great person in the Bible done it great alone before they did it in front of people. The first one that comes off my mind is David. Amen? David didn't. He killed the lion and the bear before he killed Goliath. Jesus surrendered to the cross in this garden before he ever went to the cross. All the work was done in this garden as far as going to the cross. He sealed the deal with God before he walked out of there or before he was drug out of there. That's where your work's going to be done. This, the platform stuff, people, titles, names, offices. Oh, he's an evangelist, he's a missionary, he's a pastor, whatever. You are a human being saved by God. Do what God's called you to do. But listen, if you're not willing to do it for one or zero, praise, you won't do it for 1,000. It'll only last a little while. Or it won't last at all. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. What does this look like? I was thinking about how this looks on the outside. It looks a lot different than the agreement part. Hands down, face down, eyes closed. Whole lot of weeping. Maybe some groaning. But is it still worship? Yeah. Does it still count in glory? Yeah. Are they on equal footing? Yes. God wants to be glorified when you're doing well and when you're doing awful. Because sometimes, can I hit that right there just real quick? Because sometimes when we think we're doing awful, we're doing good. And sometimes when we think we're doing good, we're doing awful. You understand what I just said? The most awful scene in the whole Bible is Jesus on the cross. It's the most beautiful thing to God. Amen? One of the worst scenes in the Bible, Job. Worst, don't, Job had to go through the heart. Yeah, but Job went to the heart, but it was beautiful to God. Amen? The rich man, beautiful, doing great, fared sumptuously every day. Looked awful to God. Lazarus, laid outside of his gates, begging all day. God, sores all of his body. Dog licking his sores. Beautiful God. I know him. His name's Lazarus. That guy riding by every day on that chariot, I don't know who he is. I know what he loves. I know what he loves more than me. He loves money more than me. That's the rich man. Could you imagine go through eternity named what you love more than you love God? I can hear him. Can you hear him? I'm not rich! 2,000 years going by, every devil and demon that walks by, I'm not rich! I'm spiritually bankrupt. I was poor. I didn't have nothing. Lazarus for eternity, richest man in the world. The day I met Jesus, I was the richest man in the world. I have it made. I wonder how many times it went by. You need anything, Lazarus? I could use a little food, maybe a bandage, but everything else is great. I bet it ate at his soul. You know it did, right? Because when he lifted his eyes up in torment, he said, he's got a testimony, send him. Amen? He knew his name, knew him, knew everything about him. Worship is worship. Sometimes praise looks different. Some praise is easy and agreeable, and sometimes it's very hard and unagreeable. Both are good. Worship. Worship wherever you are. You can worship here. You can worship in the place that you are, spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. Let's all stand as they come and get a song of invitation. Whew.